Now, after the war, we had a play reading group that lasted for years. That sort of thing in the 30s would have been a good idea if we had started it, because it was just local. And
but in a way, it grew out of the Depression, Bonnie.
Yes, it probably did. And see, that didn't cost anything. You just met at people's houses, and you got these. You got plays from the university. They would mail them to you. You had this play reading group. Went on for years.
No. There's an interesting comment there that's an aside, though, but it relates to education in general. Is that this play reading thing became possible through the university extension department, and they developed this all over the province. They had hundreds of people who had play reading groups, and they distributed them. Now,
they sent you several copies, you see.
Have you ever done this play reading?
No.
It's one of the most fascinating things you've ever done, particularly if you've never, and you get the best response if you, no one knows the play. One act plays, you see. A lot of fun. But we've always done it when we've had students out. But do you know what I found out now? Within a year or so? I went to get them again at the university. Oh, no. There's nor any demand for it. So they've all been moved from the, in order to make room for the expanding university library and whatnot, they've been moved to the provincial archives in Victoria. So this thing, that's a very interesting sociological impact. This has disappeared. People no longer do this.
We just play reading with groups. Now, John Buchanan, who is the chancellor of the university, he always remembers what part he had in the play, you know.
Yeah. So this is a sociological thing that's occurring.
Yeah.
Is that people are not doing today.
People aren't making their own entertainment.
That's right. Now, that's true. That was after the war, but the same sort of thing could well have taken place in the 30s, you see.
But it didn't.
It didn't, but then we didn't know people too far away from us. It was only with the war that we all got together, really. You knew your immediate people here, but you got to know a much wider group during the war because we did things, all sorts of things.
Red Cross.
Maybe we should talk a bit about what you did in the war, because I think that's interesting.
Well, we did Red Cross here. We worked.
I have to change this here.
Yeah.
I got a New Zealand story to tell you later too. But you want to start with the war period? Well,
yeah.
if I can give my answer, then Bonnet, if you can give your impressions too, I would say that like a depression, war has a compelling and impelling thing, and you're motivated in a way that, having lived through two of them, that you are motivated in a fantastic way. And this thing was there, and it found expression in so many different ways. Among students in the university, this was a fantastic thing too, the impression, the motivation there. But then the particular things that were done community-wide was the question of bundles for Britain, getting things ready for people from Britain, and the people that were very more diversified would come together and be able to do these things. Now, you tell about what used to happen here about it.
Well,
for this area.
Yeah, we sewed here, Red Cross. We sewed in the kitchen, and we had an upstairs room. And for years, you see, we met every week, every Wednesday afternoon. And the women sewed. We made all sorts of things. They gave us a whole bolt of cloth for boys' pants. We could put a pocket in a side pocket in 7 minutes. They're fairly easy to do, you know. We got quite expert at doing them. And the group down here would be probably doing pockets, and then they would go upstairs and do another thing. Then there was no Red Cross. There was no first aid post here. So we had meetings.
ARP, air raid precautions.
Yeah, air raid, and then. We had meetings to try and establish a first aid post, and we made up first aid kits, which I think we sold for 50 cents. With that was the early time of Dettol that was just coming in. I remember a big argument whether we'd have Dettol or iodine in it. And you belong to the
I was the second in command of the of this whole area's fire department, and we had an old truck that we assembled and so on, and we had this way, and the ARP warden was old Mr. Pierce. He'd be 75 by then, but he was the one, and we had practices. This is when the chaps were out on the
coast.
But
you also became the gas detonation officer.
I was the gas detection officer for the whole of Burnaby.
What did that involve?
Eh?
What did that
involve? In case they dropped poison gas.
Poison gas. I had the material which would be sent off to detect it and so on. You see, but if it did occur.
And rubber suit and everything.
I got it still upstairs.
Yeah. You never had to do anything. So every so often you'd get a call that they were having a test and you'd have to dash over. And the first day, the ARP people would be descended. He was a big shot in those days. And then the tester for poisonous gas would dash up.
They did this all in a blackout, you see.
In regalia.
You see, and we had the... Oh, yeah, I can tell you all the people that were on the group.
I was caught at the first aid at our Red Cross rooms when this first blackout came. And you had no lights, you see, and that was before when we put blinkers on our headlights then, you see. But we didn't have them, and this darn thing came at 10 o'clock at night. And you had to drive, and that Red Cross was a jubilee. Our rooms were, and this was quite an experience getting home from there with no headlights, you know. But after about three nights, you put blinkers on your cars and you went. You drove more slowly, but
a little slip on the car. It's on your head.
Oh yeah, but you could still see. But when they first hit, you had to drive with no lights.
Well, then the other thing that occurred for us here as well at our home, particularly our home, during that period, there developed what became the annual fundraising event.
Oh yeah,
with the Red Cross garden party.
Yeah.
And you run across people all over Burnaby. We still run into them, little kids that were performed and did all kinds of things. Well, this was quite an affair that we had here in our.
Oh, yeah.
It was, and all
and
the people
still
that did,
getting embarrassed.
And people
somebody
that did
will say,
things.
Oh, I met you at the garden party. You know.
And this is what brought the sense of community.
Yeah.
And we were quite a thing. They raised a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you got everybody to work. It was just a cross-section of people. There was no question about, it didn't relate in any way to academic standing or financial standing or anything like that. These people just worked, and they all found their places. And there was a real camaraderie, but that comes out of the impact of war,
right. Mm-hmm.
Which is a different thing than the impact. I think the depression is a much more personal thing.
Yeah, right.
I think that may explain it.
Yeah,
depression is a much more personal. You don't go around, doing this for but a depression.
Yeah,
it's there. There's no question about it. Stark. But war is sort of something that you're not in, but you're trying to be in. I don't know whether I would.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The whole community or even country is threatened in a war as a unit, whereas in a depression, certain individuals may be threatened.
Oh, yeah.
And they may not want to go around and say, I'm poverty stricken.
No, they didn't want to. No, this was one of the things.
Although there were groups of unemployed who organized during the 1930s.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. But they were in Vancouver, of course. This area was the collecting ground for all of Canada. That's why it is more difficult here.
Mm-hmm.
The boys rode the freights, you see, and you had French Canadians and New Brunswickers, everything in Vancouver, mm-hmm. the thousands there. And they just weren't our people.
Mm-hmm.
So that this was an extra, it was a national problem that happened to be located here.
Did you have evidence of that around here? Did people knock on doors and ask for food or ask for jobs around here at all?
No.
No.
You might have somebody coming wanting to sharpen your scissors or something.
Yes, they came to get work.
But not handouts, no.
No, no. No, but they, and there was a lot of people, people were very resourceful in what they tried to do. And people, you would help them too, to the best of your ability. That's right.
Yeah. No, not much in the way of handouts, not.
But they would want work of various kinds.
Yeah, oh yes, yes.
Yeah.
Was that very frequent?
Hmm? I mean,
did people often come asking for work?
No. No, not too frequently.
No, no, they did the scissor sharpening was one of this kind of thing. They come around with a machine and pack it around. Selling magazines, and they tried to do everything. Yeah. That was at all would bring in 10 or 15 cents. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.